Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
Saints and miracles in today's Church are connected through the canonization process. Usually, for a person to be beatified and then canonized, a miracle by their intercession must be verified at each stage. But this saint-miracle connection is older than the process of canonization, and the stories of saints from the earliest times are often accompanied by tales of the miraculous. This was especially true in the medieval world, where the art of writing about saints, called hagiography, often centered on the wondrous and even incredible. At Cambridge University, a project by several graduate students in the Department of Anglo-Saxon, Norse, and Celtic to categorize and chart the thousands of miracle stories recorded about saints in the British Isles between 500 and 1300 was announced at the beginning of this month. The senior student leader of the project, Mapping Miracles, is Julianne Piggott. She spoke to Charles Collins.
Each of the four student leaders of the project works with hagiography, so that's the variety of literature that establishes the biography and the miraculous credentials of saints from the medieval period. As scholars, we're examining those kinds of miracles as evidence, to disinter evidence of the social and lived experiences of medieval populations. So you're trying to disinter historical and social information from the text. The impetus to creating the database, which will be accessible to everybody, so not just to scholars, but to individuals who are interested in knowing more about saints of the medieval period, was that this body of literature is huge. I mean, I think people perhaps might be astonished by the volume of writing that's out there. In Ireland alone, we're looking at something between 1,000 saints over the medieval period for whom we have information.
Today, when we think of saints and miracles, it's usually a healing after the saint has died, and it's tied to the canonization process. How was the role of miracles different in the medieval world?
Well, the texts that we're dealing with were generally written at a minimum a couple of generations after the lifespan of the saint or the historical lifespan of the saintly individual, and some were written many centuries later. But I suppose the chief difference that we would have to acknowledge between the medieval approach to sanctity and our modern conceptions of what makes a saint is that the medieval mind, medieval mentality entirely accepted the miraculous. For them, what was outside of the natural order, was a readily acceptable fact of their reality. So the type of work that hagiographers were doing in cataloguing all of the miracles associated with a saint, both during their lifetime and posthumously, were the credentials by which the medieval populations accepted the saintliness of the figures under discussion. So there wasn't the level of contest around ideas of the miraculous that we might anticipate or we might encounter in modern conversations about this.
You mentioned there's a lot of these stories. Are any of them, how should we put this, more amusing than others?
There are some that strain the sort of bounds of credulity in the modern reader. I particularly love the animal ones, which is something that you encounter pretty much through all of the geographic regions and across the chronological period that we're dealing with. So you have things like an Irish saint, Abbon, and he blesses a cow that's barren and unyielding in milk, and she then becomes, the most productive cow ever known to mankind. Bridget cures a man of enormous appetite. He's eating too much and straining sort of the provisions in the community. There are those kinds of things. Barra of Cork is another saint who he is having difficulty reading one night. So God turns his hand into a glowing object, and thereafter some of his congregation find that they can't sleep at night because his hand is so bright. So he takes to wearing a glove to allow them to sleep on. There are loads of sort of lovely little instances like that where they are miraculous, but they're on a more ordinary level than some of the more extraordinary resuscitations or resurrections and so on.
This project, what are the plans right now? How do you go about collecting these stories? How do you go about making them available in the database?
As scholars, we have access to a very broad range of texts. So a lot of these texts have been edited down through the years. And some will continue to exist only in 14th and 15th century manuscripts. So there will be difficulties with some of those. But a large proportion of the corpus across the two islands has been edited. So our proposal is to begin with something, with a smaller level piloting project for which we're currently sourcing funding. We hope to have funding in place for that very shortly. And the first sort of variety of miracles, if you want to put that kind of language on it, that we propose to look at are those of conversion. So the way in which conversion is connected to the miraculous in these texts about the lives of saints. So you have, for example, the kind of conversion miracle that you might encounter is a saint who brings a pagan, you know, to a vision of heaven, so that they can witness the wonder and mighty and power of God, and then the conversion is enacted by that sort of miraculous intervention. So that variety of miracles, what we're proposing to look at first, once the funding is in place, we'll begin to create the database. We have a sort of a template in mind at this point, and the idea will be that visitors to the database can simply input the type of miracle they're looking for, or if it's a particular saint, that they want to see what miracles are associated with that saint. They'll be able to input that into a search box, and the information book will be returned to them. So we wouldn't be proposing to digitize all of the texts. We will, of course, link to those texts that are already digitally available on the web. So, for example, for a lot of the Irish texts, there's a very prodigious database based at Cork, Celt, and they have a number of the texts available in digital format. So we would provide links to those texts so people can go and read for themselves in translation and in the original languages, these accounts.
Your scholars, this is a scholarly project. Do you think that there will be a lot of interest outside of the scholarly community once it gets going?
I would hope so, and I would believe so, because that for me is part of what brought me to this genre of literature in the first instance. I went back to university as a mature student, and one of the very first lectures I attended was on hagiography, and it happened to be on St. Bridget. And I had never encountered the genre of literature, hadn't known it existed beforehand, and to discover that there was this vast corpus of writing solely focusing on the biography of these individuals. And there's so many human details as well as political and socially relevant information embedded within these texts. And even aside from being a scholar, a lot of them, when translated into English, are incredibly accessible and really interesting to read. And you know, they will make you laugh out loud. Likewise, they'll also make you sort of throw your hands to heaven in despair at sort of what can seem difficult to follow for the modern mind. But I would hope that with the type of accessibility that we're talking about, which is being able to just plug in the saint's name or the type of miracle, whether that be transforming into an animal or heavenly visions or cures, that people will find it an interesting way to look at the medieval and see how it relates to the modern.
And that was the senior student leader of the project Mapping Miracles, Julianne Piggott. She was speaking with Charles Collins.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.